Hello, and welcome to the I Am Necessary podcast. As always, this is your boy, your host, Marcel. And before I get into this little mini segment, if you would, I want to be intentional by asking you, if you haven't already, take a trip to www.iamnecessary.org. I am necessary is all one word. Navigate your way to the menu bar, and when you click the menu, you should see something that says support. Click the support, right? So when you click that support and you donate, all you're doing is helping me, because Thanksgiving and Christmas, those are coming up. So I always take any proceeds or donations from this platform, and I go out, buy turkeys, I go out, help underprivileged families have a better Christmas experience, all those types of things. Anything I can do to the community to give someone a jump or an alley-oop, that's what your support does. So find that menu button. If you're already on the site listening to this segment from the site, find that button. If you're not on the site, if you're on some other platform, please take all of 2 minutes to go to www.iamnecessary.org, find the support button, and help your boy out. Now, what I want to do today, and this is a solo effort, not really a solo effort, it's kind of collaborative, but I am the messenger. So what I mean by that is I went to attended a mini little conference with a bunch of recruiters. So this was a little conference with all the top-notch recruiting agencies in the country, and they were basically sharpening their skill set, staying in alignment, networking, and all those things. So I was fortunate enough to eavesdrop in on one of these. And so instead of picking out one person or one organization to invite on the show, I just took very good notes. So I want to share some of the things that I took from this opportunity to share with you guys, right? There's a whole bunch of stuff. So I just wanted to narrow it down, because I am also in a world where my day job, I hire, right? So I'm interviewing a lot of people. I'm going through a lot of resumes, and the resume is basically your key to get in, to sit down in front of someone, to show who you really are. So I want to share a few basic resume tips that I extracted from this little session. And even myself, after years of looking at resumes, having to write my own a time or two, I was pleasantly surprised at what I was able to gather. So things have changed, and you have to be able to adapt. You have to be able to pivot if you want to land, air quote, that dream job. Okay. So resume tips. Number one, whatever you do, do not try to cram every skill and work experience onto your resume. So think of your resume as a comprehensive list of your career history, but as a marketing document selling you as the perfect person for the job you're applying for. So for each resume you send out, you want to highlight only the accomplishment and skills that are most relevant to the job at hand, even if it means you don't include all of your experience. This is what they call tailoring your resume, and it helps anyone who reads it to see exactly why you're a match for the position. Okay. Number two, keep an outline of all with a list of your qualifications. I'm sure most of you do this anyway, but it's always a good idea, since you'll be swapping different information in and out depending on the job you're applying for, to save a resume outline, right? Or a worksheet on your computer with all of your old positions, bullet points tailored for different applications, special projects that only sometimes make sense to include. Then when you're crafting each resume, it's just a matter of copy and paste. Number three, the objective statement, ditch it, it's dated, right? So I was like, wow. But this goes to show how you have to stay in the game if you want to get to the front of the line. So nowadays, the only occasion when an objective section makes sense is when you're making a huge career change and you need to explain from the get-go why your experience doesn't match up with the position you're applying to. So in every other case, resume objectives just make you look old-fashioned or out of touch. So ditch the objective statement. Next, you want to put the best, most relevant information first. So in journalism speak, above the fold, if you ever heard that term, that refers to what you see on the front half of a folded newspaper. I'm dating myself right now. Some of you are like, what's a newspaper? Or in the digital age, before you scroll down on a website. But basically, it's your first impression of a document. So in resume speak, it means, how do I say this? You should only make sure your most relevant qualifications are visible on the top third of your resume. So this top section is what the hiring manager is going to see first and what will serve as a hook for someone to keep on reading, right? Just like I'm dating myself again. When I used to buy CDs, right? I used to get excited. I pop the CD in. I know it's got 15 tracks on it, but each track would get about 5 to 10 seconds before I move on to the next track. Keep it concise, right? So the two-page resume is a hotly debated topic. You know, they were going back and forth with this one. But the bottom line is this. You want the information here to be as short as possible. And keeping it to one page forces you to prioritize what really matters, right? Because we can get carried away when we're talking about ourselves. But that can get boring sometimes to a reader because what's important to you may not be important to the reader. And then you can get swiped left. So if you truly have enough relevant and important experience, training, and credentials to showcase on more than one page of your resume, go for it. But if you can tell the same story in less space, do that. So here's one for you. ATS. not sure if you've ever heard of this, but this is key. So ATS stands for Application Tracking System. Now, you may have heard of employers using computers to read your resume and decide who to hire and reject. That's not exactly true, but most employers, they do use this software called ATS, Application Tracking System, to parse resumes and organize them so that the recruiters and hiring managers can search for the most relevant application. So you should assume your resume is going to pass through an ATS at some point during your job search. So understanding how it works will make your hunt more efficient. In layman's terms, the ATS knows what the job description is, so it will eat your resume and try to find keywords and phrases that are included in the job description to say, boom, this person appears to be a match. And then they'll move you to the front. And then probably you'll get a screening call or even an interview. So make sure you look up ATS. Make sure you understand what that's about when you're putting your resume together to make sure you have keywords on your resume that the system will grab. And with that, you want to avoid resume design elements that cannot be read by computers. So tables, logos, icons, graphics, those things a computer will not eat up. So if you're putting your most relevant items in that kind of format, you might be skipped. Small but big, make your contact information prominent. You don't need to include your address on your resume anymore, but you do really need to make sure you include a valid phone number and, get this, a professional email address. So trust me, I've seen some old personal email addresses on resumes that makes me scratch my head. So don't do that. Make sure you have a professional email address, and also don't have an email address that's affiliated with another job. That's kind of tacky. And here's another good one. design your resume for skimmability, right? So you've probably heard before that hiring managers don't spend a lot of time on each individual resume. Help them get as much information as possible in as little time as possible by making your resume easy to skim. Make it clean, include only relevant information, because that's what they're going to do. They're going through thousands of resumes, so you have to do all of these things to make yours pop. What else do I have here? Keep your work experience recent and relevant. So as a rule, what do they say? You should only show the most 10 to 15 years of your career. Only include the experiences that are relevant to the position you're applying for. I think that speaks for itself. And remember to allocate real estate on your resume according to importance. So if there's a choice between including one or more college internships or going into detail about your current role, always choose the latter, unless the internship was more relevant to the one you're applying for. Next up, so you want to write strong, achievement-focused bullet points. So the bullet points under each job entry are arguably the most important part of your resume. They tell whoever's reading it the skills you have, how you use them, how you help your employers in the past. So start with the strong action verb. Include relevant skills from the job description and frame your bullet points around your achievement. Don't just list your job duties. Tell them how your work benefited your boss, your company, so they know what they stand to gain by hiring you. Use as many numbers as you can. So use facts, figures, and numbers whenever possible in bullet points. How many people were impacted by your work? By what percentage did you exceed your goals? So quantifying your accomplishment allows the hiring manager to picture the level of work or your responsibility you need to achieve them. Going back to the whole ATS thing, make sure you use important keywords from the job description. So scan the job description, see what words are used most often, and make sure you've included them in your bullet points. For example, does the job description list CRM? Or Salesforce? Make sure your resume matches. So not only is this a self-check that you're targeting your resume to the job, but it will also make it easier to search for your resume in the good old ATS system. Soft skills. So with the soft skills, if you can find the way to show versus tell your soft skills, you're winning. So describing your soft skills on a resume often starts to sound like a list of meaningless buzzwords. But being a strong leader or an effective communicator, those are important characteristics you want to get across. So think about how you can demonstrate these attributes in your bullet points without actually saying them. That's going to take work. It's going to take practice. It could also take looking at Googling other resumes, right? So you can take a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this, and create your own. Again, it all depends on the job that you are applying for. Because a lot of times I can tell when someone sends me a resume, I'm like, this resume doesn't even match what or who I'm looking for. Somebody sent their resume just to apply for a job. So that's automatically a red flag, right? You're just trying to find work, not relevant work to your skill set or what I or a hiring manager is looking for. This one was interesting to me, but a valid point. So beware of your interests and activities that could be controversial, right? So for example, maybe you help raise money for your church on the regular, or perhaps you have a penchant for canvassing during political campaigns. So these experiences do show a good amount of work ethic or possibly other relevant skills, but they could open you up to be discriminated against by someone who disagrees with that cause. So weigh your decision to include those carefully, right? And you can sit there and say, you're right with but understand that person reading your resume is a human being, and that human being has opinions, that human being has flaws. For example, let's say they're looking at, this is a true story that I know about, two resumes that are identical. But this person only had room for one, right? Both of these, they would have hired in a heartbeat. The difference was this person went to this college and this person went to this college. So although the degrees in education was the same, they chose to select this person based on the college they went to. So you can shake your head all you want, but knowing the game will put you in a better position to win the game, you know, and then you can judge the game later. Here's another big one. If your resume displays a tendency to job hop. So if you've job hopped frequently, if you don't know what job hopping means, when someone looks at a resume and they see, oh, you got four jobs, but you're only there 1 month, 3 months, 4 months, 9 months, you're just hopping jobs, or that's what it appears. So if you've job hopped frequently, you can include a succinct reason for leaving next to each position, like the company closed, or layoff due to downsizing, or relocated to a new city. So by addressing these gaps, you proactively illustrate the reason for your frequent job movement and make it less of an issue, if you would. Another thing you want to ditch: references available upon request. So if a hiring manager is interested in you, they'll ask you for references and will assume that you have them. So there's no need to address the obvious, and doing so might even make you look a little out of touch. Lastly, proofread. It should go without saying, but fully edit and proofread your resume and make sure it's free and clear of typos. And don't rely on spell check and grammar check alone. Step away for a few hours and then review it closely again. Ask a family member or friend to take a look at it for you, because once it's sent, and that is your brand. So sometimes you might sit there and think, why isn't the phone ringing? Well, then when you go back and look at your resume, you have a few typos. So you can't do an auditing job or a verification job or a job that requires you to have a good attention to detail when your own resume has glitches in it. So I hope this was helpful, because it's a cold world out there. You always want to stay prepared. You always want to stay ahead of the game. So I hope that what I'm sharing with you today, hopefully you don't need it because you already got a good gig and everything's good, which leads me to maybe I need to come up with a show about, hey, I'm already in a job, but now I want to elevate. How do I go about that? Or how do I make an in-flight resume? So stay tuned, be needed, be necessary. If you made it wrong, take the time to make it right. This is the I Am Necessary Podcast. I'm your host, Marcel, and I'm out.